Hello, my fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ Cracklin Oatbran. And tonight we have an extremely special show. Tonight we have with us the very beautiful and talented DJ Concubinatron. And DJ Concubinatron is going to be covering several important issues, including relationships, sexuality, and the special bond that heterosexual women and gay men share. My co-host tonight, as always, is the enigmatic and...
If I correct you, it spoils the enigma.
The enigmatic and poly-talented Lance. So, Lance, welcome again. I understand, Lance, you just came back from... you were doing undercover work with some Iranian construction workers.
You mean in Iran?
In Iran.
Studying their nocturnal sexual behavior.
Yes, exactly. Because in that country, sexuality is kind of oppressed. It's not as open as it is here in America. And even in America, it's sort of oppressed.
But the one thing I learned there, and which is borne out by my previous experiences as a foreign exchange student in Turkey, is that they really love blonde women. Like, you could put a blonde wig on a mop.
And they'd go after it. I have to agree with that, having spent some quality time in Tunisia.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't have the full regression... back prop hyperplane analysis on me right now, but I think there's a pretty clear trend.
Well, I have an analysis, which really doesn't have as much to do with Islamic men as I used to think that it did, and that is that they all think that they are irresistible to women. Men in general think they're irresistible to women. And when we went to Tunisia, you know, it was in the Peace Corps, and they sort of prepped us for this, and they said, you know, these men will try and attack you. Be careful. Always go out in groups and, you know, basically like street smart sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And so I was hyper aware of this sense and found it to be very true. But then I looked around at the other students who were there and I realized it was true of them. And then when I came back home, I realized really it wasn't a cultural phenomenon as much as a male phenomenon. Boys?
I have three comments to that, but I think...
Yeah, I have three comments, and I have also three comments, and I have a meta comment.
Comments.
And the meta comment is that our producer is going to chop your head off unless you talk directly into the microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because we have a special, or at least don't move your head. It doesn't have, you know, just...
The eye tracking doesn't work unless you talk directly in the microphone.
Our special bond, my special sexual hypnosis will not work unless you keep staring into my eyes.
But, I mean, shouldn't we have pity on our guests just once and allow it not to work?
Well, yes, but what about me? You know, for some people, you know, a case of blue balls is just a mild annoyance, but for me, it's actually...
Aren't your hundreds of sexual conquests enough?
No,
when
I mean,
you face up to this burgeoning sex addiction?
One missed sexual encounter and I'm in the ER for like 2 days, draining the semen from my swole...
Haven't they permanently installed that catheter yet?
It keeps popping out.
So, I keep telling them to use hose clamps.
So, but please, DJ Lance, continue with your analysis of DJ Concubinatron's.
Actually, I'm going to redact one of my points in the interest of being enigmatic. But my first point is, you were in the Peace Corps. And my second point is...
I keyed into that as well.
Yeah.
Why? Because, is it hard to believe?
When I first saw you, I thought, wow, she really is a piece of something. But I didn't think the Peace Corps...
No, you clearly fall within the well-established parameters of the Peace Corps, but it's just we can come back to that. Every person I know who's been in the Peace Corps has had sexual shenanigans, or shagnanigans, as one might call them, that could fill hours of conversation, so we'll have to come back to that.
Interesting. I was with a non-shagnanimous group, I guess.
Well, it could be something about Islamic culture, because I was an exchange student in Turkey in high school, and I had friends who were exchange students in Thailand and Sweden.
Well, Thailand, come on.
And their sexual awakenings were considerably different than my sexual awakening. So,
tell us about your sexual awakening.
Would that there was one to talk about.
Has it happened yet?
But back to men being irresistible. See, I'm not so sure it's the fact that men actually find themselves irresistible, but they're trained not to show weakness in front of women. Right. In fact, I've had friends of mine who have had many sexual awakenings tell me never to show fear or doubt in your own attractiveness in front of a woman. And so that may be what's contributing this behavior.
Fascinating.
Whether or not that's true, whether or not that folk wisdom among young men is true and you know, echoes something real about female psychology. I don't know. I'm not a woman. I couldn't possibly answer that.
Well, it's not fooling anyone. Not the fact that you're not a woman. That men have a certain bravado about their studliness.
You cut off my I'm really a woman joke right at the knees. I was locked and loaded.
Well, so I mean, that is so interesting because I am neither a heterosexual male nor a woman, but I think that might be the key problem to my own. Just tonight, I was at Brookstone, which is this kind of place in the Monroeville Mall, and this little hottie teenster was showing me the incredibly expensive Tempur-Pedic pillow.
Excuse me, did you say Tempur-Pedic?
I did, which is this like incredibly. They're pretty comfortable, but they're extremely expensive pieces of foam that you can buy for your bed.
But wait, what does Tempur-Pedic mean?
I think it has something to do with... Are you asking me literally, or am I supposed to make some kind of jackass?
Yes, I've never heard that. I'll leave that up to you. I'll just say I've never heard the word in my life, but it sounds intriguing.
Tempur-Pedic. You can actually go to this, like, www.tempurpedic.com. I don't know if it's T-E-M-P-U-R or E-R, but...
How about P-R-A?
Tempur-Pedic? No, I'm pretty sure it's per. Tempur. Because
like
what it is...
Like temperature.
Yes, because that's the key to this. These are like these fabulous mattresses and pillows made of foam, which apparently the density of the foam or sort of the cushiness of the foam adjusts according to your body temperature. And so like your body's hot spots get like more or less support. I don't know.
Do you want the hard parts of your body to get more support?
I don't really know. You wouldn't think so. I mean...
I might. I'm enigmatic.
And so I was intrigued by their website, and so I went to Brookstone. And anyway, there's this hottie, like, 17-year-old who, like, wouldn't stop. I was wondering, and he was, like...
Wouldn't stop?
Talking to me.
Okay.
Being friendly, showing me the Tempur-Pedic pillow. And he's like, here, try it. Lie down.
Mm.
And then I was playing with a body fat measurement device, and he kind of ambled over to me and helped me with that, too. And the key question in my mind was, this boy is being so nice to me, and he's so cute and innocent. Shouldn't I
come on to
him? He wasn't 17. He was like 18.
How does this relate to the fact that you're neither man nor woman, as you as you announced at the beginning of your
story? Because I realized that had I expressed, I mean, I think what the reason the sexual transaction failed was because I was not fully confident in my own attractiveness. I expressed self-doubt. And had I been fully confident in my own sexual attractiveness, he would have been so drawn to me that we would have probably had sex right on the Tempur-Pedic pillow in the Monroeville Mall. And this transaction could have been concluded rather than aborted.
I don't know about that. First of all, you are a fully attractive male, so present company excluded. In my experience, looking at personal ads, men tend
to... Are you referring to Lance or yourself?
I'm referring to you.
Oh.
Now, who's being excluded there? I feel marginalized.
You're being
now.
Excluded, but I'm just talking to him because he was saying this was his experience, and you're enigmatic anyway.
It's always about Corey, isn't it? Sorry.
Yeah.
It's always about DJ Cracklin' Oat Brand.
DJ Cracklin' Oat Brand.
I mean, is this boy, like, now is he on his own, like, you know, high school radio show talking about me, the guy that came in asking about pillows? I'm sorry.
Possibly.
But proceed.
Well, what I see a lot is... photographs of men, you know, personal ads is what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm,
you've
mm-hmm.
got the photograph, and then you've got their description. So they say better than average looking, and they're looking for women who are younger, slimmer, and better looking than they are. Younger. Oh, I said younger and slimmer. Yes.
So
and
they've been smoking for 45 years. They're overweight.
Crack cocaine.
They're kind of a wreck. They've let themselves go to pot, and yet they want
a 25-year-old
hottie. You know, Renee Zellweger.
Well, I mean, is it really so bad to have high aspirations? Does that really betray an inflated sense of self-worth?
Well, I'm speaking of the descriptions that they give, like better than average looking, and I have the photographic evidence that. To dispute that.
There is a well-known psychological effect that people in many areas all believe they're better than average. So if you ask people, are you a better than average driver? People will, far more than half of the people in this country will say they're better than average drivers.
Which is a mathematical impossibility.
Indeed. Well, actually.
Are you better than the mode? Or
not to get into the math.
Yeah, let's stay away from statistics.
But it depends on whether you consider average mean or median.
Interesting.
Or mediated through... This is perceptual experience.
This is the old high school math question. like, do most, you know, most people have more than an average number of eyes? Wait.
Indeed.
Most I just gave away the answer. What body part do most people have more than an average number of?
Almost every body part.
That would be fingers, toes.
Fingers, toes, eyes.
Well, lips. Okay then.
Right. Pancreases. So you're talking about the descriptions these people write. They call themselves better than average looking.
Right. Right. Mm. Right. And they're not. So.
I mean, they're downright hideous. I mean.
In some cases, yes.
Well, so when the women describe themselves, are they much more accurate in their own?
Yes.
Maybe.
Or like, even less accurate in that oftentimes they won't think that they're nearly as good looking as right. they actually are.
Maybe men are just slumbering under sort of a cloud of blissful, happy ignorance, right? Maybe if we really woke them up to how ugly we, the men, really were, I mean, maybe we don't want to live life like that.
But wait. It's amazing I can command your attention just by
lifting a pinky.
But wait. So the quick, but in the language of personal ads, isn't there already a hyperbole element in there? A lot of the guys would say, you know, I'm fabulously attractive, fabulously successful guy. I mean, if you say you're just better than average looking, isn't that already a sign that they're actually pretty dog-like?
So you're saying there's some sort of inflation that everybody expects, inflation, right? And so people discount their readings of the personalized accordingly. Well, we're not the expert.
That I just couldn't answer. I don't know. I think it sort of goes back. My only statement is not in general about hyperbole in personal ads, because that's hard to say. It's more about just this strange phenomenon that came up earlier as a result of talking about your undercover work in Iran, was it?
Actually, near the Iranian-Turkish border, but yeah, in Iran.
Right.
So, before we get to your Omega 2 n-gram reading of DJ Cracklin on brand, we should give out the phone number here.
Please.
DJ Cracklin on brand, your voice is much sexier than mine when reading numbers.
If you'd like to ask questions or comments of DJ LL
Concubinatron,
the studio phone number is 621-9728. If you're on campus, just dial 89728. Do you think as I age, I'm starting to make whistles out of my S's? Did I do that? 621? I mean, I feel like, you know, I want to offer you some, like, Becky tea and persimmons or sarsaparilla. I mean, do you sense a problem with my S's?
Do you think that's a factor of age? I don't think so.
As you know, the brain ages and I have less motor control over my facial muscles. I'm sensing.
Have you been doing something with your mouth that would have damaged some of those key muscles, DJ?
Let's talk about the attraction between gay men and straight women.
Interesting. It's so funny you brought that up. I was just thinking about that.
Propel the thoughts propelled forward, no doubt, by the hard to resist presence of DJ Concubinatron.
So, LL Concubinatron, do you feel that there's a special bond you and I share that Lance is forever an outsider to?
Because, absolutely, yeah.
Because of my sexual orientation and your fabulous femalosity. I mean, we are indeed. I mean, there could be like some like aching teenage movie about us, right? I mean, like if we're
an
just
after school special.
Yes. Oh, indeed. Like mm-hmm. if we're just a little bit younger, you know, you'd have this like big crush on me. I'd be like your best friend. We would go to the soda shop and eat Sundays together, and I'd be always buying you like the perfect gift and like picking out really great clothes, and you'd be like dropping all these hints, like asking
like,
about prom and stuff.
Alicia Silverstone and that guy in Clueless.
And yet, when we'd hold hands or kiss, it would just seem like friends rather than...
It would actually seem like friends and not sort of cold and lifeless.
Well, but you would sense something lacking and you'd finally start to wonder.
Even I'm wondering.
To be honest with you. I definitely feel a special bond. With you and with other Cracklin' Oat brands, because you know, for instance, I like to go out dancing, but I would rather go dancing out at Pegasus than at Metropole, because I you're not liable to be hounded on by men or have that sort of meat packer feeling.
Really, I've Actually, a guest of this show, DJ Lucky Charms, has often expressed that Pegasus is the place to go now to meet attractive young women.
It's out. Well, you know, I've often wondered why there weren't more straight men at the Lilith Fair, but, you know, they just don't catch on to these things.
It's harder to dance to, like, Indigo Girls or whatever, but...
It's impossible. They're horrible. But, you know, in terms of the numbers of attractive young women that you're liable to meet, that's going to be a big concentration, boys.
Wait, how do you spell that?
Big concentration?
No, Lilith, this mysterious Lilith Fair.
So, but
there's a safety. I've never had an unrequited passion for a homosexual man.
Interesting.
So the impression I'm getting here is that
I'm aware of.
So for those of you who can't form a visual picture in their minds of the studio, and I do pity those of you who can't, you, DJ Konkenbandestrand, are sitting about exactly halfway between DJ Cracklin Oatbrand, the gay man, and me, Lance, the straight man. And the vibe I'm getting here is that flowing between you and DJ Cracklin Oatbrand is just an ocean of safety and warmth and camaraderie.
Well, there's also like a plasma jet going from my crotch to hers. I mean, you can almost see it. There's some kind of sexuality there, too, that's not the normal kind of passionate sexuality, but more kind of a nurturing love that flows between us, kind of electricity, kind of a human kind of energy.
Human kind of energy.
I can't put it into any...
You know, that's a little too specific for me.
It's very difficult to explain if you're not experiencing it, if you're
exactly. So if I'm not experiencing it, right? So in order... There must be contrast here, right? Because the only thing different... I mean, aside from his fabulous body and enormous genitalia, the only thing that differentiates DJ Cracklin Oatbrand for me is that he's gay and I'm not, right? So is there this vibe of... fear, you know, like danger, law of the jungle going on between us then?
Between you and me?
Konkenbandestrand.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to be picky at this point.
I think my penis is probably smaller than average. I mean, I'm going to go against the law of the sort of technique you talked about earlier. Instead of saying my penis is average or above average, I'm actually going to go on a limb here and say it's below average.
By doing that, you're only emulating your hero, Howard Stern.
I was just going to say the same thing, although I didn't know there was hero worship involved.
I made that up, actually.
Okay.
Right.
Do you sense fear and animosity here? Back to the question. A danger, if you will.
Well, I think at this point Lance is still studying me because he wants to emulate me and eventually to take over the show. And
he brings this up every show. I don't know where you get this delusion.
I've never heard this before.
No, it's like, if you've ever seen All About Eve, which I bring up in the show, too.
I mean, just because I have 3 or 4 pictures of you up in my high school locker, right, that doesn't mean I'm trying to be like you. Okay, the candles are a bit much.
Is there some sort of, like, masturbatorial violent kind of, like, you know, moment where you, like, slash... You like shoot your sperm all over my picture and then slash it to bits with a knife and then burn it and then sprinkle blood.
Take away the masturbation in the sperm. And yes.
See, I don't think of myself as that attractive. I think of myself as more. What makes me special is my my incredibly powerful knowledge of
wit.
Computer science and the kind of self-effacing fey wit that I use as a defense mechanism.
Is
a defense mechanism. To keep you from understanding my true feelings.
What are you defending yourself against? Me? My ravening, carnivorous, heterosexual
sex
presence?
Sex drive. Heterosexual drive.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I forgot what the original question was, but the...
The question was actually oriented at DJ Konkenbandestrand.
Oh, really? I didn't know that it was directed to me. I thought you were actually asking him if there was some... different kind of flow he sends between the two of us.
Well, no.
But I would have to say yes, because Corey can sit here and...
DJ.
DJ Cracklin Oatbrand can be openly demonstrative and affectionate and tell me that he thinks I'm fabulous, and he's not putting any risk out there, because there's no chance of my rejecting him.
Whereas I have to hide behind a wall.
of fear. Enigma.
Yeah. That's so beautiful, and that's so interesting. I mean, if we had gotten my little Brookstone sales boy here, I mean, I was actually very shy around him. I could have heaped compliments on him as well. But there was something at risk because I was
wanting more,
flirting, and I was kind of trying to see where I could get with this. I was actually trying to get a discount on these pillows, which were like $150, but I didn't really get anywhere. I mean, for like a piece of foam, it's pretty pricey, even if it is temperature sensitive foam.
Tempur-Pedic.
He's just trying to broaden our audience down below the college graduate level by avoiding the big words.
621-9728, that's the phone number, especially if you can get me a discount on this foam thing. 621-9728.
So we would be remiss to have you here and not talk about your actual life of bringing people together in blissful emotional and sexual harmony. Right?
Well, I actually still want to talk about the attraction between gay men and straight women, if only to tell my story of my friend who is right now considering marrying a gay man.
This is a female friend?
Yes, a female friend considering marrying him in order to satisfy his family that he's not gay and to entitle herself to a tidy sum of money.
She'd be a beard.
Well, uh-oh. DJ Cracklin Oprin?
What? I'm just...
I thought you were having a nosebleed.
I was trying to belt demurely, in case you were wondering.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I've been drinking that Coke here.
Is that part of your fae charm?
Yes, being demure about it. Anyway.
And have you advised, since you are one who's wise in the ways of love, have you advised her one way or another?
Well, actually, another friend of ours said wisely, I thought, this will confirm your status forever as a fag hag, because you will not only be hanging out with one, but you'll be marrying one. Now, what do you think about that?
The problem fascinates me on multiple levels. I mean, first of all, it seems sort of quaint that there would still be a family here on the eve of the millennium or the faux
millennium.
The
end times.
Yes, that would still be, you know, blackmailing their son. I mean, I suppose this person really believes, and I presume he does, that if they find out that he's gay, he will lose his fabulous inheritance. And I can't believe there's still a family in this late in, you know, the development of human society that would still, like, be freaked out about that. But presuming that's true, and I guess it is.
No, I think it is a presumption. I'm not even sure if that's true.
I mean, if it's not true, then his plan to marry this woman
is more bizarre.
It's even more kinky, yes, indeed. I mean, you wonder. I wonder how, like, to what degree they have to carry out this charade, right? I mean, you know, will they have to, like,
produce heirs?
You know, have accidentally be caught having sex in the, you know, family's palatial guest room? You know.
Oh God.
I mean, I don't think that's necessary, right? They could just accidentally be caught making noises, sex appropriate noises, right?
Yeah, or they could just open up some condom packages and leave them lying around.
Interesting.
Or, I mean, the man could actually masturbate into the condoms, right? Or use the condoms on...
The possibilities are endless.
On his, you know, like, endless parade of lovers, right?
Give his wife a pearl necklace and... A so-called pearl necklace. This is a porn star term.
It's a ZZ Top song, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that would still involve some sort of direct physical sexual contact with a woman, right?
Well, not if
you kept your eyes closed.
It would. Couldn't the sperm just fly through the air from his penis to her neck?
I mean, that sort of aim is not trivial, right?
Interesting. It sounds, you know, if there's anything that I learned... in my years in the orphanage, it's that a single lie compounds over and over again. You can't just tell a single lie. It turns into this whole web of lies.
You know, that sounds like in the same way that a grit of sand becomes a beautiful pearl, right? Like one tiny lie can spin a beautiful, intricate web of deception.
I think we have two great after-school special ideas here.
Well, you left out just a few vegetables and some hot water can make stone soup. I don't know if I've ever told the parable of stone soup on the show, but...
Does it involve...
I thought it was stones and water could make...
Well, that's the whole beautiful thing, is that the claim is that there's these magic stones that can make soup, but you know, this guy brings in the stones and the hot water, and he's like, well, you know, it would be nice if we had an onion. And then so somebody, like, gives up an onion, and somebody else gives up, like, a potato.
Oh, okay.
And suddenly it turns out that, you know, the soup, these people are all tricked into.
Okay, when does the guy masturbate into the soup? That's the only way I can see this story becoming appropriate to the show. That's that part of the parable?
He pulls a baby out of the boiling water.
It's some sort of aphrodisiac, perhaps.
My head's all spinning now. I mean, I'd like to know how this story turns out, but I guess we don't know because they're still pondering this
pondering.
Idea of
what,
marriage.
What do you think, DJ Concubinatron? You always hide behind
asking what others think.
Yeah.
What do I think of the idea?
Yeah.
Well, I agree with Cracklin Oatbrand that it's quaint. That such an arrangement would still be necessary. I guess if I found myself in a position to help someone out that way and help myself to a tidy sum of money, I don't know if I would take it up or not.
Well,
I can't fault her.
It's sort of like a sexual green card, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, should I say this? Sure, why not? She's not real attractive. Ouch.
Interesting. So she could be headed for old maidenhood.
Right.
Without her.
Right.
Gay lover.
But, I mean, does marrying the... I mean, he's not her gay lover. Right? He's her gay roommate. Right?
You know, the attractive thing is such a funny card to play, though, because, you know, not everyone can be as cosmopolitan and fabulous as you are. So lots of ugly people marry each other, and they produce, you know, they have fabulous lives, they produce gifted children... You know, in some sense.
Gifted ugly children, don't you mean?
You know, this whole notion of attractiveness is such a strange... I mean, Stephen King, for example, not a very attractive man, I don't think, but brilliant brilliant fiction novelist and horror writer. The example there.
And a wildcat in bed?
for all we know, you know, his, like, 14-inch penis is, like, unstoppable. And so...
So you're right in that the attraction is odd, but it's also hardwired very deeply into us, right? I mean, you will be the first to admit, I believe, DJ Cracklin Oatbrand, that staring at certain kinds of 18-year-old men evokes a very different reaction than staring at other kinds of 18-year-old men.
Interesting.
And I don't even have to tell you what those kinds of 18-year-old men are.
That's right. It's true that the Zoom kids kind of leave me cold. But
the what kids?
The new kids.
The kids on Zoom. But yeah,
is one of them named Zach?
The Backstreet Boys have a different effect.
But we can't avoid attraction, and thus it is an integral part of the calculus in the decision this woman must make.
True. Okay.
Right. So, but you were clearly going somewhere with this.
I had a question, actually. You keep talking about this kind of wad of money she's going to get. Now, is she actually promised a specific reward, or will she just be a party to, you know, the joint checking account and, like, the lifestyle? Will she just be sort of riding along with the lifestyle, or is he actually going to transfer, you know, X million dollars into her account?
My understanding is that she's going to actually get some money, but I could be mistaken. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly something to consider, I think, if for whatever reason it would be more convenient to be married. Say you could share health insurance and maybe your lover or your not lover.
Gay lover.
Gay roommate was a professor at some school and you wanted to be a student there. Mm. There are many scenarios that there might be something convenient about it. Or if you just didn't want to be living alone. I don't know.
So the key thing that distinguishes us from a gripping Hollywood screenplay is, does she have to agree that not only is she to marry him, but she can't ever have sex with anybody else? I mean, if they actually were able to take separate
lovers... Oh, my goodness,
lovers,
no.
I can't imagine that being part of the bargain.
No, that's not part of the bargain because, no.
Well, then there's no reason not to... I mean, if they're friends...
Exactly.
She should go for it.
That's what I say. I agree with them.
So you're encouraging her to live the lie?
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
Wouldn't you like a muse to support your life? Whatever that may be.
Maybe. It would have. I'd have to judge on a case by case basis.
The column.
So the column. So if I remember my production notes correctly, you write a weekly syndicated dating advice. It's not syndicated. You got a dating.
I'm trying to get it syndicated. Mm.
But it's in the city paper, and it's a weekly column, kind of a dating thing where you select men and women of Pittsburgh based on their interests and so on, and you put people together who seem like they would be good matches.
Mm-hmm. It's so brutal, though. The best part of reading the numerical evaluations at the end.
Did you see this week's?
I didn't see this week's.
You've got to look at this week's. It's really good.
Can you give me an advanced screening?
Well, no, not this week's. That's coming out tomorrow, but today's the last date on the issue.
Okay.
Johnny and Christina. Mm. They went out together, and as my mother said, they're perfect for each other. They both love him. They gave one another a 10 for hair. She felt he thought she was interesting because she's not from here. She's from Erie. And he said that he had done this little experiment for the betterment of society.
You mean that society could only benefit the more he was in circulation? Something along those lines.
Something along those lines.
That's fascinating. So did she like him a lot? I mean, was she all set to have subsequent dates with him?
Yes. And he seemed to be on the verge of calling her again.
Mm.
But speaking of attraction, there's something that doesn't happen that infrequently in a column, which is somebody will rate somebody else as being very attractive. And then the other person will be brutally honest and not find the other person very attractive, right?
Yes, that next week's is kind of sad that way. The ones that's coming out tomorrow.
And that those things don't discourage you? Do you just chalk them up as a...
Discourage me in my personal life or...
No, in your professional life as a bringer of love.
Oh, my goodness, no. Because as you were saying earlier, and I agree completely, the attraction is not predictable.
Well, some of it's predictable, right?
I don't think so.
I mean, I can predict that giant anthropomorphic slugs aren't very attractive.
Well, interspecial beings, I don't know.
But I could disagree. I could predict that despite the powerful sexual magnetism that radiates out of every pore of DJ Cracklin Oatbrand's body, tack 300 pounds of unsightly flab on him, right? And at least one or two people would be less attracted to him.
I want you to feel my chest at some point, actually, because I've been doing push-ups and pull-ups. But have you noticed that there's, like, more bulk in my upper body?
Can I do that now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just don't nudge the microphone. So let me the microphone. See, let me tense it up. See, isn't that incredible?
Wow. Wow.
So I've been doing push-ups, and I'm working on my upper body. So that, I don't know. I can't make those muscles.
Ooh, I can feel it in the back.
So I've been doing pull-ups and trying to get my lats and my whatever, those other back muscles kind of stronger.
Are you training for some sort of pageant?
Well, I'm just trying to in the whole pageant that is gay attraction. I'm trying to like turn up this very notion that you're talking about, where you know people have a certain probability of being attracted to you, and I'm just trying to shift the whole probability curve toward people wanting to have sex with me rather than.
DJ Concubine Tron, isn't your whole job in getting these people together to try to predict who's going to be attracted to who? Right?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that I can make a very good educated guess and still have things go terribly awry. Like a favorite pair of mine from way back was Vinny and Ray. They had both sent in pictures of themselves. I think I shared this story. Positioned near a Christmas tree, he wearing what appeared to be a wedding ring and she with her child. I thought, this might make a good pair. Mm-hmm. They had many things in common, including being born on the same day, different years, but the same day. And, it was, you know, an odd number of things in common that I had no way of even knowing. But after speaking to Vinny, I thought, well, Ray must have really hated him. He was such a pig. You know, he was saying things like, hey, I thought we were going to, like, hook up or something. And I said, what do you mean, hook up? And he said, you know, like, make out or something. And... you know, I get Ray on the phone, and I'm thinking, well, she's going to come off like the princess in this article. Well, she was telling me about how she liked to go out drinking every night, and, you know, she just left the kid at home with mom to, you know, she watched him, and she would go out every night. And this guy, he seemed too, you know, sort of boring. Like, he had a job and was, you know, sort of normal, too normal for her lifestyle. Ouch, come on. Who's to hate more?
Interesting. So in Hollywood, these two would end up together. I mean, did they end up?
Well, they would have to learn a heartwarming lesson first.
I'm afraid I didn't teach them any lessons. Although I do have one really good story to tell. I sent a guy out on a date, and, oh, he was very handsome. You know, from his picture that he had sent me, he looked very handsome.
So you found him very attractive then?
Yes, I did. So I set him up with...
Oh, sorry. Please proceed. I just thought, you know, how devilishly clever it would be for you to insert yourself into one of these dates under a pseudonym.
I've considered doing that as maybe an end of the millennium special, or maybe next Valentine's Day, which will be the 1-year anniversary of the column. I've considered doing that.
But
so
you're saying
it's not
out
of the question.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, back to this very attractive guy. I set him up with this girl who was, you know, certainly cute enough, and she seemed nice, and you know, I thought it could be fine. And she agreed that he was pretty good-looking, but he was a little bit more corporate, and she was a little bit more Peace Corps, if you will. Mm. And when I talked to him on the phone, he had been telling me about the date, and it sounded like he'd had a really nice time. When he was doing the ratings, he completely trashed her. And after... But in between those two things happening, we had this long conversation, this heart-to-heart about he had just been in love with this woman. It's still there. COB. And he's testing his breast muscle.
Do you find big pectorals on men attractive, or is it like too womanly, the sort of bulging breast-like? You know, I mean,
pecs aren't my big thing.
I want to hear the end of the story.
The end of the story is, in the middle of the conversation, we'd gotten off topic, and he actually said to me, can I tell you this off the record? Sure. And he was telling me about this woman he'd been in love with, and, no, I didn't put it in the article, this woman he'd been in love with.
Well, it's lucky for you, no one listens to this show.
She had moved to Taiwan. Well, both parties now live in Taiwan, and that's the beautiful part of the story. She had moved to Taiwan, and he was telling me how he didn't have a job there. And I said, you know, your job will go on without you, but can you go on without your job? If the answer is no, your priorities are really screwed up. And you're completely confused by that.
I'm working on it. I think I'm wrapping my mind around it.
Maybe for people like you, that's not true. But for
your
most ordinary Joes.
Go on without you.
So, for instance, if you're a janitor, the floors are still going to need to be swept.
Yep.
But can you...
Live without the sweeping?
Yes. Perhaps a bad example, but you get the idea.
So why did he ask you this question? So she moved to Taiwan, and
he's searching his soul about the right decision. He was torn between leaving his job.
But he doesn't even like her. Or
no, this is a different woman. This is the woman he used to be in love with.
The previous, his previous relationship.
I think the massive physiological cost of sustaining those enormous pectoral muscles is sucking too much blood out of your brain.
Yeah, you were paying too much attention to your pectorals. So anyway.
Not that we blame you.
No.
You should feel my ass too.
I do like I like a good ass.
Who doesn't?
Phil Silvers, I've been told.
Who's Phil Silvers?
I was thinking
Sergeant Bilko.
Oh, you know you'd be.
But anyways, so last time you heard DJ Concubinatron, you put out a broadcast looking for more lesbians for your column.
Yeah.
Did the massive radio audience that we...
Well, as a matter of fact, it did generate a few entries.
Really?
However, what ended up happening was I haven't gotten any pairings out of that. Because it's not just enough to have an applicant. I feel that they actually have to have some sort of compatibility on some level, be it attraction or interests or age range.
You never get desperate and just throw them together.
No. Although once I did want to throw a couple of people together because I found them both weird and very annoying. Because,
you know, that's how penicillin was discovered.
I was going to say, where's the human element in all of this? I mean, put together two opposites and just let the magic happen.
You know, we actually talked about that on this show once before. Yeah. And I think that I tried it. We did. And I tried it afterward. And it really doesn't work.
Well, I don't know. Out of every, you know, 99 failures, there might be one brilliant, you know...
success story. Well, that former unhappy Pittsburgher has now moved to Taiwan to be with his true love, and I thought that was sweet.
So he actually asked you, he went on a bad date, and then he talked to you, and you said, you know, can
Why
you live
are you dating?
Without your job? Can your job live without whatever?
You. Can your job live without you?
And you said, or you said that, and he was like, oh, okay, I'll move to Taiwan. I mean, it was actually your influence that got these two lovebirds back together?
Well, according to the email that he sent me to thank me.
That is so moving.
I mean, you know, it's her influence that we stay together as hosts of the show, really.
Despite our sexual incompatibility, it's true.
Sexual, emotional, you name it.
We've a got third after-school special.
We've got incompatibilities stacked up like cordwood. So, something very interesting recently happened to DJ Cracklin on brand, which I personally would like your take on.
I want to hear the whole story.
You're referring to the penile lengthening surgery that went tragically wrong?
The penile lengthening surgery? I mean, shouldn't that be...
the most recent.
Yeah, the most
recent. Surgeries.
Penile lengthening surgery. So, no, we... a bunch of DJ Cracklin Oat Brand's friends, straight friends, drug him against his will to a strip club, to a very sleazy sort of low-end strip club out in the middle of nowhere in the Appalachians.
Can I ask? What would make a strip club low-end?
Well, this is, I think, is the best indication. So there was a room where people sat around, and there was a runway where the women danced, and there was a pole, of course, right? Now, and the women were completely naked, and they were lying down on the floor dancing, and about a third of
They were lying down to dance?
Well, they had their backs on the floor, and they were gyrating.
Pulsating,
yeah.
And they couldn't stand up and do that?
No, they could, but, like, it's harder to spread your legs all the way open when you're standing up.
It's part of... You can imagine. I mean, it's like... Right, and so they dance, and that's seductive, but if you really want the big money, you have to, like, pulse your vagina in someone's face, and then you get, like, a dollar.
As opposed to all those inconvenient quarters?
No, like, people, apparently they just ignored you unless there was a pulsing vagina involved. That was the protocol of this place. But the place that made it look really, the part that made it look really cheap was that about a third of the tiles on the floor were missing. So the strippers would often have to move around so they didn't have their backs and buttocks on, like, the grout and sort of munge that was the floor without the tiles.
And it wasn't just tastefully missing. It was really like, yeah. You know, the tiles were gone and there was just like...
And they were too cheap to replace them.
And, you know, little ant colonies or whatever.
Too cheap to walk down to Home Depot and show up the 50 cents.
What's the audience like at this kind of a club? Is it all men?
There were a couple women, mostly men. There seemed to be us, some pit frat boys, some local truckers maybe.
What is the phenomenon of men getting together to watch porn? Have I asked this question before?
I don't want to put words in DJ Cracklin Oak Brand's mouth, but I'll just say repressed homosexuality.
Well, it's interesting. I can't answer this question, actually, because, you know, now if I got together with my friends and watched porn, we would all have to have sex and masturbate, or at least openly masturbate. And so I would only watch it with friends that I was comfortable doing that with. You know, I don't know what straight guys do when they watch porn, because they're probably all getting turned on, and they're probably getting, like, erections. And so, like...
Wow, Lance is really getting a bang out of this,
I don't know if you just, like, have enough beers so that, like, you feel comfortable just whipping it out, or do you have to, like, express that sexuality in some other way? Do you have to, like, go, you know...
Slap each other on the back?
Try running a truck and, like, beat someone up, maybe? I mean, like, it seems like...
Yes.
I don't know, Lance. What's the protocol?
What's the protocol? Well,
let's look at a bachelor party, one of the archetypical guys getting around and watching porn sort of things, right? The porn's not about sexual arousal.
Mm.
The porn's about sort of the common experience of being a straight man, actually. And so nobody gets aroused when they're watching porn. And often the porn in the form of strippers is intended more to humiliate the bachelor than it is to arouse anything.
Interesting, but there's some kind of lattice that you can build from humiliation to domination to sexual aggression, and it's all repressed homosexuality all over again.
You can build a lattice from iodine-rich salt to humiliation and domination.
You know, someone's in denial here, and I don't think it's me. Because, I mean, you have to tell me when I was, like, dressed as a woman with the word whore written on my chest... gyrating in front of these men, being whipped and barking like a dog, there wasn't something going on there at some level.
Do they do that to any of the other men who are there?
Oh, yes. Wait, can I just tell you what my feelings were when I saw you with your lips painted a horse red?
Was it one of domination?
No, I said...
Sublimation?
I said, sweet Jesus, Corey looks like he's in pain. I bet we're going to have to buy him a waffle after this is all over.
And did you?
I had to pay for my waffle.
No. After the domination session, Corey was a man reborn. I've never... Sorry, DJ Cracklin Open. The experience was so deeply personal that I associate it with the man who molested me when I was six, Corey Jenkins.
That was a little comedic misstep, I think, but we'll just proceed.
Hey, do I criticize your mistakes on the air?
So, what?
Where were we?
You were secretly thinking about the kind of action, the hot action you and I are going to have after the show. But on the surface level, you were talking about when you saw me humiliated, bleeding, bruised,
oh, yeah,
wilted.
After you came back. After you came back.
Serious looks of pain.
Yeah, he was very happy. He was a man at peace with the world. He was ecstatic.
Would you
it looked like
concur
he'd
with
he'd
that?
Gone through a religious
experience. Yes, because this is the thing people don't realize about these S&M encounters. The reason that they're so valuable, at least to me, is not the pain thing, although it's kind of an interesting challenge to endure all that much pain, but afterwards, it's euphoria like I get from nothing else. I was literally grinning from ear to ear.
Have you had S&M experiences that weren't public?
Yes, one other time. Well, no. Yes. Well, no. No. The other time that I was spanked so hard that it left bruises for a week, I had the same sort of euphoria. And those are the only times that I've been hit that hard that it had that kind of effect. So I've never actually had a private session, although I think you're going to argue some kind of thesis that it was something about the psychological exposure and whatever that put me in this mood. But this is such a common phenomenon for people.
It was really just the endorphins.
I think it's really – well, I mean, it is the novelty of the situation indeed. But I really think that there's a sort of simple chemical kind of thing that happens. You know, your brain's response to pain.
Akin to a runner's high, maybe.
I think it's the same kind of mechanism. But.
So the best example of this was, whereas before, DJ Cracklin O'Brien had found the blatant near-gynecological display of femalosity somewhat repulsive, he now found it to be the most interesting thing he'd seen all day, and literally planted himself front and center.
And
bring
started
on.
Dispensing the dollar bills and quarters.
I was hitting on both Lance and DJ Lucky Charms. I was like, give me more dollar bills. And they wanted to, you know, they wanted to leave at some point. And I was like, no, you know, we have to stay just 10 more minutes. And it turned out that, you know, the thing that was most exciting for me was it turned out that by some incredible twist of fate, one of the delicious frat boys across the room was also being encouraged to go on the wheel and endure the torture scenario. And this was, of course, a huge, intriguing turn on for me because seeing this sort of semi-attractive frat boy being reduced to his psychological core, to the very, you know, humiliated on stage, was having just been there.
So did you stick around for that?
Oh, yes.
And what effect did it have on you, Lance?
It was hilarious.
Was it funny when you were watching it happen to Corey, or were you participating in the
DJ
S?
when it was happening to DJ Cracklin Oatbrand, for the first 5 minutes, it was really funny. And then it looked like he was actually getting hurt, and then it turned to sort of horror and compassion. However, had I known then what I know now, I would have felt nothing but sort of ecstatic joy for the endorphin rush that I knew he was soon to perceive. With the frat boy, though, it was his friends who were jumping up and down yelling at the strippers to hit him harder. That was the really amusing part. They were literally in his face yelling at the strippers to keep on punishing him and various other...
Last time we said this, we got beeped.
Yeah.
Beeped?
Well, you know, we're not... Decorum prevents us from saying certain words in the air, certain phrases. And so if we were to say the phrase that the frat boys actually said, we would get censored.
But it was all very sexual and very degrading to the man who was getting beaten.
Was this whole experience, and especially seeing my euphoria afterwards, intriguing enough to you to make you want to try this? Yourself, DJ Lance, at some point experiencing submissive beating?
I've had enough experience with S&M.
You have?
To know, yeah.
Really?
To know
where I stand on it.
And that is?
Well, We only have 15 seconds left. And if I told you, I wouldn't be much of an enigma now, would I?
Interesting. DJ LL Combinoratron, the time has just flown by. It's midnight. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you once again for showing up on the show and providing your fabulous insight and wonderful take on the human condition on that crazy mixed up world.
And yes. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Good night.